with how we reconcile this right to privacy and other rights, and the conflict between the two rights and other rights that might be involved, such as the right to information. Apart from what we say quite specifically on this, it's worth pointing out that the data protection system that we have, and indeed all member states of the EU, we are bound by the general regulation on data protection, which came into force, I think, in May, last May. And also, there is an EU directive on personal data protection as part of police activities, as well as the criminal procedure itself and international judicial cooperation. The system, on the one hand, attempts to facilitate exchange of information and access to data, but on the other hand, it establishes rules that are really rather clear and stringent as regards preserving privacy. So when we talk about privacy, we're talking about many different spheres of privacy. And there are many areas of intimacy and privacy. And there is a core which I think has to be inviolate. It has to be preserved. Sensitive data. I mean, I think they call it something else now, but this is a very important element that needs to be accommodated as we try to strike this balance between the various rights. On non-refoulement, Ricardo has already talked about this and talked about expulsion. But we need to see how this links up with extradition, because quite apart from the grounds under 144, Act 144-99, we have the UN Convention, the 1951 Convention, I think it is Article 33, if I'm not mistaken, which also imposes a limit there. Recently, we had a very interesting case. It went through the courts. They're not frequent cases, I have to say. In fact, I can't remember any others, but one that actually I saw myself, which had to do with an extradition request made by a state. The citizen was wanted for allegedly terrorist activities. And we know that this concept of terrorist, you know, has to be, it's full of shades of meaning. And it's very difficult to have absolutes. Someone who's critical to the regime may be seen as a terrorist when in fact they're not, or may have very little to do with the criminal notion of terrorism. In fact, there wasn't even a consensus on its definition. But I think there is now a listing of typical activities constituting terrorism that's broadly accepted. So it was alleged terrorism. It was an individual who belonged to a political group that opposed the group that was in power in a country which did not meet the basic requisites of what we believe is a democratic and open society. This individual had refugee status granted by another country, not by Portugal, but by another country in the European Union. And he went on holiday to the Algarve, where there are wonderful beaches. And I may as well invite you to the Algarve and see those beaches for yourselves. And he was there on the beach with his family, with his wife and two children. And there was a request for extradition. No, let me put it this way. Not a request, an international arrest warrant was issued for the purpose of extradition via Interpol itself. The Portuguese police, of course, having to respect the Interpol convention and Portuguese law, noted that this individual crossed the Portuguese border and that they were in a given hotel in the Algarve, enjoying their holidays. So the police did what they had to do, according to Interpol, went to the beach, found them on the beach. She'd just had a nice dip in the sea. The police then accompanied them back to the police station, and he was arrested and brought before the court. The individual in question said, I have refugee status, I have my ID paper, also my transit papers, annexed to the 1951 Refugee Convention, but it'd been issued by another country. So there was a bit of a legal debate that then was sparked off, as you can imagine. In the meantime, the extradition request arrived. After the arrest, it was analysed within the Ministry of Justice, and our Minister of Justice, and quite rightly, I have to say, said, no, no, I will not accept extradition here, because this individual has refugee status, and the facts are linked to these facts, which in the first place determined the fact that he was given refugee status. Although it was given by another country, because Portugal's part of this convention, this individual's protected in the states parties to it. So it was a very interesting case. I think it was one of the few cases, perhaps in the last decade, that such a thing has happened. And it actually did hit the headlines. It was on the news in Portuguese and foreign TVs. And I do believe it was an excellent implementation of this instrument in a tangible case. So I just had that to offer by way of additional information. I'd like to thank my colleagues for everything that they provided by way of answers. And I believe that is it on our part, unless there are further questions.
Thank you, Your Excellency. In fact, we have already concluded with the substantial part of exchanging between our members of the committee and your delegation. Now we are approaching the final stage of the dialogue, in which the floor